When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Up the left-hand side, Bouchard to McDavid. Beautiful spin move, right circle to the net. Back door, shot, score! Zach Hyman opens the scoring. 1-0 Edmonton. Hyman from McDavid. Hyman ahead for Adam Henrique. He'll finish his forecheck and create for Connor McDavid. Reverse pivot, dishes, one-timer, score. Zach Hyman extends the lead to 3-0. Arvidsson stopped at one end. Hyman buries his second of the night at the other. Hyman reversing to Draisaitl, guides it to Bouchard. McDavid right face off on tiptoe. 6-2. Hyman's got a hat trick.
Zach Hyman, one of the hottest scorers in the NHL in the regular season, continues that work in the playoffs. A game one hat trick against the Los Angeles Kings, and the Oilers take it 7-4 at Rogers Place for just the second time in 10 playoff series in the McDavid-Draisaitl era. The Oilers win game one. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown with you in Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Rob, kind of a crazy end to this game, which we'll talk about, but with the Oilers winning at 7-4, they led 4-0 29 minutes into the game. And I think if you were to say, okay, how can the Oilers play? What's their formula for excellence in the playoffs? It was the first half of this hockey game.
Yeah, they're very good. Good on the forecheck. Good on the backcheck. They didn't spend much time in their own zone. They were the better. They were the more disciplined of the two teams. They were very physical, but smart when they did it. Not running out of position to throw a big hit. They did all the right things. They didn't really give up a whole lot of grade A scoring chances, but when there was an opportunity, Skinner looked strong in net. So through 30 minutes of this game, you're thinking they're playing the perfect game, they got the lead, they're going to be able to coast home, but the Oilers always seem to turn easy into a little more difficult, and the LA Kings have shown the ability to stay involved in a game that looks over. So it became a little different as the second half of the game took place.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Kings got a lot of pride, and yep, they're a playoff team. This isn't San Jose or some of the non-playoff teams that the Oilers and other clubs beat up on over the final month or so of the season. The Kings definitely woke up in the second half of the second period. Anderson scored. They had the disallowed goal from Lewis that we'll talk about as we move along. Kempe scored. I mean, to me, they started skating, and yep, it may be a little bit of human nature. You're up 4-0. Maybe you don't have the nose for the net that you did in the first half of the game. But two things for LA in the second half of the period. They played better. They took more shots. They forced the play. And then they made a silly play that ultimately sunk them going into the third.
Well, it seemed in the first half of the game they were so concerned about not making mistakes. They would dump the puck in, and then if they changed, they got into their 1-3-1. There wasn't a lot of forechecking. There wasn't a lot of pucks into the zone, pucks towards the net. They were tentative. Once they fell behind by four, they're like, well, let's just play. Let's play hockey. And they did. And they were very good. They scored the three. The one was disallowed, but it still was one that went into the back of the net. They carried the play. And with 30 seconds to go in a period, they're down 4-2. All the momentum in the world. And just a dumb play, an undisciplined play by Trevor Moore, who clips Desharnais and puts the Edmonton Oilers power play, which has owned them for back-to-back years in the playoffs, gives them an opportunity to extend the lead, which they did. So it made no sense what Trevor Moore did. It's one thing if you're going to go throw a hit against Leon or Connor. I mean, it's one of the
shoulder
stars.
To chest or shoulder to shoulder.
Or anything.
Sure.
But you went after the Oilers' third-pairing defenseman with a low clip. They're going to call it every minute or every time, and it's not a hard hit against a star player of the Oilers. It's a dumb play against the Oilers' third pair, and it put the Oilers' best players on the ice for 2 minutes with a power play, and that ultimately was the end of the game for the LA Kings.
And you made a great point, Rob, after the second period. Back in May of 2021, Josh Archibald was suspended for a similar type play against the Winnipeg Jets.
And that changed.
He only got a two-minute on the play. So I'm not saying that Moore's going to get suspended, but we're saying there's precedent for that being
called. Well, and it should be looked at. I mean, if you watch the video of it, watch Vinny's knee. It bends awkwardly as he was being hit. It was dumb. The Archibald one was dumb too. And he went low on purpose in that one, and that changed the game because all of a sudden the Winnipeg Jets were done. The Oilers were going to win the hockey game, and I think that would have made the series. I don't know if it would have made it 2-1 or 3-1 the series, but the Winnipeg
would've
Jets
made it
on
2-1 because then he got suspended for
game four. There you go. So that would have made it 2-1. The Winnipeg Jets scored on the power play, come back, win the hockey game, and Archibald is suspended for game four. But more just. When you are an underdog, when you are not the better of the two teams, and the LA Kings aren't, you've got to play perfect hockey. And that means getting good goaltending, being very disciplined. The Kings did not get good old goaltending tonight. It was average at best. And they took three dumb penalties. And the one guy they made the big trade for, Pierre-Luc Dubois, took two of those dumb penalties that the Oilers capitalized on.
They didn't score in his
the first one, but they did the second
but
one.
On the, they scored the second one. As the Oilers went 3-for-4 on the power play, we talked about it before the game. Kings' power play was excellent in the regular season, but now you're playing the Oilers' power play game
over
after game. LA
0-for-2
on the power play. That update for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. And yeah, the Dubois is his first penalty when he drills McDavid. I mean, you're already down 2-0, and nothing is going right for you in the first 12 minutes of the game. And they killed that one off.
But, I mean, to me, he didn't even drill Connor. That was the thing. If you're going to take a penalty against the best player in the world, take a penalty. I mean, you came and you pushed him over the boards. It's
right.
Like it was easy for the ref to call because it was late. Connor and one of the other Kings had already gone back and forth a little bit. Dubois was the third guy. The third guy's going to get called on it. If you're going to take a healthy run, well, at least you earn your penalty. He didn't earn it, and then the same one with Leon. He just grabbed Leon from behind. Two, to me, selfish penalties. And this is a guy they brought in for this series. I believe they made the trade because they gave up a lot to get Dubois. A lot. That's made the Winnipeg Jets a much better hockey club. And he had a very poor season, but they brought him in for the playoffs. And in his playoff debut, two dumb penalties. And the second one ultimately was... Well, that salted the game away for the Edmonton Oilers.
7-4, the Oilers win it. Hyman, hat trick. McDavid, 5 assists. Bouchard, 4 assists. Oh, by the way, Hyman had an assist as well, so a 4-point game. The Japanese Village goal light is on 630shed.com. We activate it whenever the Oilers score 5 or more in a game. You can print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall. An afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.com. CA, that goal light was on 21 times in the regular season, quarter of the games, and 1-for-1 here into the postseason. So the goal that was disallowed, I'll just read the rule again, Rob. A goal will be disallowed when the puck has been directed, batted, or thrown into the net by an attacking player other than with a stick. Okay, let's go down to the Hall of Fame room, actually. Here are Connor McDavid and Stuart Skinner.
Game or... Kind of three unlucky goals, two off your defense and skates, and then Cody's stick just kind of shatters there. Is it easier to forget about goals like that, or is it annoying in the time?
Annoying for a few seconds, and then you realize there's still a couple minutes in the game. They're going to pull their goalie. You kind of saw that coming. They had obviously minute and a half left, I believe, or something like that. So put them back in it for a quick minute, and you just know you got to get back right back into action.
Connor, it's been a while since the Oilers won a game one in a series. How does this change the outlook for the team going ahead now that you guys have that one up on the Kings?
It doesn't change anything. We always, you want to win every game. You know, we'd want to win game two even if we lost. So, you know, we want to win game one, or we want to win game two even though we won game one. So, doesn't change much. You know, we got to come out with that same urgency, that same desperation, I guess. Be ready to roll.
You and Zach Hyman have been clicking all year. He does it again with the playoffs. Just some thoughts on his play tonight.
I thought he was great. I thought both my wingers were good. I thought they did a good job getting on the forecheck, winning pucks back down low, and you know, we were able to create a couple of chances, and you know, ultimately they score a couple. So I thought they both were good.
Stu, it's a long regular season to get back to this moment. How did you kind of feel before this game, and how were sort of the nerves and the anticipation for you?
Yeah, I felt great. A lot of experience that I was able to get last year came into play definitely today, just knowing kind of what the building's going to feel like and how loud the fans are going to be. So, yeah, I felt very comfortable and calm and ready to roll.
Maybe a thought on the penalty killers in front of you tonight. You know, obviously a couple of pretty big kills, and just kind of what you're seeing from the group, how organized they seem to be and willing to do tough things to kill penalties.
Yeah, I think the whole unit in general, is we've been having a lot of conversations and obviously doing our pre-scout as they're doing theirs. I thought we were rolling really well. I thought we had really good chemistry and just a lot of good communication between the PK group. They were incredible in front of me.
Connor, you guys went 3-for-4 on the power play. What did you see on the power play that you felt allowed you guys to have that success?
Well, they got a great kill. You know, they were the number one kill all year long, and we got a lot of respect for that group, and we were prepared. You know, and I thought, you know, we got some good players on that unit making good plays, and you know, that shot by Leo is incredible. You know, I'm not sure how you stop that, but. I thought we were able to hit them a couple of different ways, which is good because it leaves you know, them to have to figure it out. With that being said, we got a few things up our sleeve still, which I think is a good thing.
Scoring the first goal, obviously very important against this team, especially with the style they play. Do you feel like it's even more important? Just does it force them to kind of change the way they play?
Yeah, it's really important. You know, starts are really important, especially a team as well structured. Defensively as the Kings are, you know, you got to get out to a good start. It helps if you can obviously score the first one, and you know, kind of forces them to open up a little bit. With that being said, we've come back on them before as well, so you know, we know that you know, if we're down one or two, we can still find a way.
Kind of feeds into this question, Connor, about the way the Kings can be stifling when they're playing at their best, and I thought you guys skated the puck through that first layer pretty well tonight. Is that your sense of why it works so well?
Yeah, I thought we played a really connected game. I thought all five guys were working together. Even if we'd had to dump it in, I thought we had, you know, good numbers on the forecheck. You know, but ultimately we didn't have to dump it in all that much because we were connected coming through there, and that's what it requires. You know, they got five guys in a tight area in that neutral zone, and you don't want to turn one over, obviously, all while trying to get the zone and you know, with possession and find a way to play down there. So I thought we did a good job, whether we had to forecheck or find our way through.
Stuart, let's talk about a player that plays right in front of you, Evan Bouchard, 4 assists tonight. Can you talk about what his composure and his demeanor kind of does for the rest of the squad when he's out there and has the puck on his stick?
Yeah, especially when we're coming out of our D zone, I think just his poise and patience really kind of calms things down pretty quickly. Sometimes he's just like so calm that you just, it's hard to not, you know, realize that and see it and see that how many great plays that he's making by doing that. So it's a, you know, obviously he's a special player. He's able to see plays that sometimes, you know, it's pretty hard to see, and he's just able to hit those guys coming through the middle. And so, yeah, he's a really smart player, and you can really see that.
Connor, can you talk about the discipline it took from your team tonight, especially after the whistle when the Kings were trying to kind of get you into a little fisticuff battle, but you guys were maintaining your discipline all throughout?
I thought the guys did a great job of that. You know, obviously it's the playoffs and emotions are high, and there's going to be those scrums, and there's going to be those interactions, and ultimately, you know, we're willing to take a punch or two. You know, it doesn't mean you're not tough or anything like that. It's just that time of year. You know, you want to do anything you can to get your team an advantage. And, you know, we found ourselves on the power play a couple of times out of those scrums, which is a great thing. I would think that's something that they're going to want to address. And I would expect that maybe those will kind of fizzle out as the series moves forward.
Connor.
Yeah, discipline's key in the playoffs. It really is, and that's discipline in your game, discipline in those scrums. And I thought tonight we showed a lot of maturity in those encounters, and it was good.
Connor, I just wanted your thought on Zach Hyman's ability to kind of get open and, you know, find that lane so you can give him the puck, and, you know, that's not an easy skill to do, but he seems to do it really well.
Yeah, Zach's smart. You know, he's a smart hockey player. He knows where to go. You know, he gets himself to the front of the net, and he gets himself lost. You know, and that's a skill that you know, maybe the fans don't see, but it's a skill nonetheless, and he's real good at it. Good. Thank you.
Connor McDavid and Stuart Skinner. At the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. Well, McDavid describing how Zach Hyman scores goals, which we have seen firsthand, I guess, 57 times this season. If you combine, I mean, again, Rob, just in the right place, close to the net, stick on the ice, knows how to finish, and then you got an elite player like McDavid. I mean, two of the plays McDavid set him up on, he's spinning to get himself into the open.
Well,
pass.
And there's set plays too. There's the last one, I think it was the hat trick goal.
Yeah,
it was a set play. You saw Leon, they have there's a little bit of time before they take the face off. He has them all in there, and like, he's pointing here. It's a set play that they know exactly what they're doing. And when you've got face off men in Leon and in Connor that win face-offs, it seems like at about 90% when they're on the power play, you can set up these plays. And it's funny, Connor mentioned it in the little scrum there. He said, you know, we showed them some different wrinkles. And, you know, they know what we're doing. We have different things set up, but we've showed some different things because they have such a good penalty-killing unit. And we still got some things up our sleeve, and that's what they do. They just they are so incredible that they have this amazing power play that they can change over and over and over again just to make it seem new. So the hat trick goal, it was like take everything away from one side, and then all of a sudden you have Hyman standing there by himself. But Hyman puts himself in the right positions. He's strong, so he can take a beating. He wins battles. He's got a good shot. And what I think the biggest thing that I've been surprised by since he's come here is his speed. He's much faster than you would expect from going from 0 to 100 very quickly.
All right, let's go back down live to the Hall of Fame room. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
Well, I don't think we really exploited their 1-3-1. I don't think they were set up very often. I think it was more off of broken plays, whether we got our men rushes not through weaving through their maze of bodies in the neutral zone. We got it through, you know, breaking up a play in the defensive zone, quick attack, going the other way rather than having a system. And I would like to say that I designed something to do that, but it was just the players going out there and checking well, moving their feet, and then being able to counterattack.
It did look like, though, that you worked on the power play, and they're the second best penalty kill, but you guys seem to, you know, try a few different things that really seemed to work. What did you like about maybe the quick puck movement of your power play? Is that what impressed you the most, or was there something else?
Well, I think they were just calm, composed. I don't think they were in a rush tonight. You know, I think they were able to just pass the puck around rather than skating it. And they looked really organized. The passing, the execution was outstanding. And, you know, the power play was the difference of the game tonight. You know, we win by 3, and the 3 power play goals obviously had a big impact on the game.
few goals late there, some unlucky bounces, but when the game was in the balance, it seemed like Skinner was pretty calm and pretty composed. Just kind of your thoughts on his night overall and how he looked. A lot of anticipation for him for this moment.
Yeah, you know, you look at the score and you're thinking four goals against, he didn't play very good, and that certainly wasn't the case. Two goals off our defenseman's skates and the broken stick at the end of the game. But probably the biggest save of the timing that he, you know, during the game, or the impact that he had was, I believe it was 2-0, second period, there was a breakaway, he stops that. Minute, maybe 2 minutes later, we score to make it 3-0. So that's quite a swing of events right there.
Kane yesterday was skating on probably more of a fourth line. He ends up on the third line tonight. Maybe just a thought on his night and why you did that, but maybe bigger picture, how you like the look of rolling those four lines together tonight.
Well, things went really well tonight, and we probably keep them just anytime you win and play as well as you do. Usually don't switch things up. Then the other thing was, you know, Evander hadn't skated for 7 days. And him coming back, it was just a let's wait and see. Let's see how he looks. And yesterday in practice, he looked really well. And then we obviously feel that we want to give him more minutes, more responsibilities, and being on that fourth line. And as for his game tonight, I thought he was really good. There was a few situations where he made something out of nothing. There was a couple shots off the rush where didn't really think it was a scoring chance, and because of his ability, he made it look dangerous.
So if a game like this, two teams with opposing styles, it becomes a battle for who gets to play the most minutes the way they want the game played. Tonight you guys won that battle quite handily. There wasn't a lot of minutes played the way the Kings wanted the game played. How come? What happened to make you, to allow you to get that advantage?
I think usually it comes down to how well you manage the puck. And yes, turnovers are part of it. But I think more importantly is manage the puck is just being able to exit out of your zone with control rather than having to chip the puck. And yes, it didn't hurt you. You didn't create a turnover or a scoring chance against or anything like that. But constantly, if you're just being safe, throwing the puck in the neutral zone, you end up having to defend all night. And I thought we did a really good job, defensemen, forwards, on making the right plays. Thank you.
All right, Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch after a 7-4 win over the Los Angeles Kings. Oilers led 4-0 halfway through the game. They were up 6-2 late. L.A. got a couple of goals, and then Fogle got an empty netter to put it away. Rob, we were talking about the Hyman McDavid performance, and I thought Adam Henrique was very good on that line as well. He got a goal, and Hyman's second goal when McDavid spun out from behind the net, Henrique tied up two L.A. defenders on the other side, and then that just opened everything up for McDavid and Hyman to finish.
Well, what we've seen so far with Adam Henrique, he's just smart. He puts himself in the right place. He doesn't seem to make poor decisions. Not overly physical, but he will get in the way. He passes the puck well, and then tonight when he gets the puck on a stick in a scoring area, he's able to put the puck in the back of the net. I know he's a lot like RNH. They just play similar. We're just always in the right spot, always making the right decision, very dependable defensively. That line was excellent. The LA Kings, through the first 30 minutes, had no answer for that line. Then the final 30 minutes, they decide, hey, maybe if we play in the other end, we'll be able to put a puck in the net, and they did, and they scored a couple goals against that line. So it was a good night to be an Oilers fan.
We'll make Adam Henrique the fourth star for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. Bouchard the third star, McDavid the second star, Hyman, who we're going to hear from later on, the first star with the hat trick. Just to wrap up what I was getting to earlier, the rule on the disallowed goal. So a goal will be disallowed when the puck has been directed, batted, or thrown into the net by an attacking player other than with a stick. When this occurs, if it is deemed to be done deliberately, then the decision shall be no goal. A goal cannot be scored when the puck has been deliberately batted with any part of the attacking player's body into the net. So I know we don't agree on this, but they ruled that he deliberately hit the puck with his hand and it went in, so therefore it's not a goal.
Yeah, I still disagree that, but it's I don't know if that it wouldn't have made any difference in the game. To me, the game changed, and I know that Coach Knobloch just talked about it. It was 2-0. The Oilers had the game pretty much in command, and the Kings finally got their grade-A scoring chance that they've been desperately looking for. A misplay in the neutral zone, and Arvidsson, who is a fantastic hockey player, gets a breakaway. Skinner makes a save, and 20-some seconds later on the same shift, the Oilers score and extend the lead to 3-0. To me, that, along with the dumb penalties by the LA Kings, were the biggest reasons that the Oilers came away with this victory.
$700 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous, courtesy James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They've been filling the net all season long with $100 to Santa's for every Oilers goal. Okay, you're going to hear from Hyman and Bouchard, and you can chime in at 780-496-0063. Hey, how about this? The Oilers have won a game one, 7-4 over the Kings. This is Heartland Ford Overtime.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
This a face-off win for Carrick, but the Oilers don't clear it. Philip Deneau tried to give it up for Arvidsson. That was intercepted by Bouchard, and it's brought out of the zone by Adam Henrique. Ekholm with a turnover down the middle. Breakaway, Arvidsson shoots, and a save made by Skinner.
Yeah, that's what Rob was talking about. Stuart Skinner's save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310-GLASS or visit crystalglass.ca. Skinner stops 34 out of 37. Talbot stops 38 out of 44. The empty net once again fails to make a save. And the Oilers beat the Kings 7-4 to finally win a game one, just the second time in 10 playoff series involving McDavid and Draisaitl. But as McDavid said, we want to win game two regardless. You want to win as many as you can, as quickly as you can.
I agree. And to me, I believe, and I said this before the game tonight, that for the LA Kings, if they want to win this series, I believe they have to split in Edmonton. I don't think they can go back to LA down two with that much pressure on them having to win both games. So I think game two will be vitally important to the LA Kings if they want to have any chance in this series. And I believe the Edmonton Oilers put a stranglehold on it. They win, they go up two. That's an awful lot of pressure for the underdog to go home and have to win games on home ice to extend the series.
I think it's going to be Talbot or Riddick.
I'd play Riddick. I didn't think Talbot was very good. And I mean, I also had the advantage. You and I had the advantage. We saw Talbot's last game against Chicago Blackhawks, and he was not good in that game. So that's back-to-back games that I don't think Cam Talbot was very good in. To me, the next game could be the series for the LA Kings. I don't know if Cam Talbot, the way he played tonight and his last game, gives the LA Kings the best chance of winning the hockey game.
Yeah, that's going to be a big storyline for them.
You can't beat the Edmonton Oilers with average goaltending.
No.
The Oilers are just too good offensively.
Yeah, and Riddick did shut out the Oilers in the regular season. Now, what does that mean in the playoffs?
I mean, his name
probably
is...
probably nothing.
His name is Big Save Dave. So, I mean, if you got a guy whose name is Big Save Dave and he's a goalie, you want to get him in the lineup. I just don't... I mean, the LA Kings up front are pretty deep. I do like their top four defensemen, but I think you can take advantage of their third pairing. And their goaltending, to me, just my opinion, I don't think is strong enough for them to beat the Oilers four times.
Do you put any stock in... I mean, the CC stick break, if that's going to happen, that's when you want it to happen.
Well,
you're up 6-3. You don't want that in overtime or something.
Well, there's three weird goals that happen in the game. No, there's always going to be weird goals happening.
It's pucks going in and off the
fence 100%. But they two went off feet and in the net, and then the CC one. But that was just so weird how it broke, like where it broke, and then the puck just to sit as nicely as it – actually, he threw it with his hand. It went over to – I think Laferriere
got it over, and then he passed him more, yeah.
So, yeah, again, I mean, those are the days you want it to happen. We got the lead. The game is over. This is when you want it to happen. I think the LA Kings will probably take something out of the game that they were able to fight their way back into it. I think that'll be something that they will talk about and try to use as a motivator. But the Edmonton Oilers are going to be thinking, we just put 7 on them.
Yep.
So let's go out and do that again.
Yeah, and they're probably thinking, I mean, the Oilers are probably thinking we did play as well as we would have liked for the entire game.
No, it was a good game. And there also is a seed of doubt in the LA Kings' minds when it comes to killing penalties. It's the Oilers in the playoffs are 60% against them now over the last three playoff series. The LA Kings were supposed to be much better penalty killing. No. That was going to give them a chance in this game, in this series, and the Oilers were 3-for-4. And they were 3-for-4, and it wasn't they got their three opportunities went in the net. They had ample opportunities. The Oilers scored 7, and they also missed a breakaway in a couple open nets. And I, top of my head, 5 2-on-1s. Kane himself had 2 2-on-1s himself. Drysdale had a couple. So
Nugent Hopkins and Fogle both fumbled and or missed pucks on 2-on-1. It could have been 4-0 after the first period.
Yep.
Quite easily.
This was a game that the Edmonton Oilers scored 7 and probably could have had 10.
We set the line at 6.5 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. Corey Perry, his shots plus his hits plus his points. It was 4. He had a shot and 3 hits. So it's under. So Donnie gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Oilers win the game 7-4. I thought Perry had a good game, though.
I agree. And we actually, Bob and I talked about it after the game. Perry just gives you exactly what you need. He makes the right decisions. Whether it's he understands the time of the game and the mood of the game or the temperature of the game. Okay, we've got the lead. I'm going to bring it up high and just I could make a play. But the smart play is to put it down the corner. We're going to keep it in the offensive zone a little bit longer. He gets every puck out that comes around to him on the boards. He gets pucks. He always makes sure he gets the red line and gets the puck in deep. He made a couple nice plays. It just rolled off his stick offensively. Corey Perry was brought in to be a playoff performer and actually probably playing higher in the lineup than the Oilers expected, being a third-line guy. But I think he's been very, very good for the Edmonton Oilers.
7-4, the Oilers take it. We'll go to Dean on 780-496-0063. Good morning, Dean. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good.
You already covered it, Rob, about Trevor Moore there hitting Vinny. I like watching Vinny, you know, like he's, you know, Woodcroft was right. He's like a piece of seaweed in the corner there. And I noticed that before the about a shift before the that clip there, I noticed that he was just stymieing everybody. He gets into the corners and they can't do anything with him, right? And I'm just curious if Moore just had it with him and maybe he tried to knock him out of the game. What do you think of that?
I don't think he would try to knock. I don't think Moore's that kind of player. I think Moore was frustrated 100%. I think Moore was going at him to be physical on him. I don't think Moore's the kind of guy that's going to try to injure a player. There's guys that I've played against, played with. There's guys in the National Hockey League right now that I'd be wary of. Trevor Moore's not one of those guys, but it was dumb. And I believe
frustrated.
Yeah, he was frustrated, and his frustration led to a penalty, which led to a power play goal that led to a 3-goal advantage that was going to be too big for the LA Kings to come back from. So I thought the ref made the right call, and it was just dumb on Trevor Moore, who I think is a very good hockey player, very effective hockey player, but he, in a moment of frustration, took a stupid penalty.
Other action, it was a huge rally for the Hurricanes. They were down 3-0. They got a goal late in the second period. They got 4 goals in the third, actually in the last 10 minutes of the third, including an empty netter, 5-3 Hurricanes over the Islanders.
Well, remember before the game you talked about good teams, where they fight when they get that moment where they can jump on the other team and it rolls, and that was what happened. I watched the game. They scored. They all of a sudden got a little momentum, and then they scored 9 seconds later, and they took a sure loss and made it a sure win.
Checking the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Mark Stone back in the lineup, scored the first goal of the game. Golden Knights hung on to beat the Stars 4-3. Austin Matthews scored a brilliant goal on a breakaway. Leafs even up the series with the Bruins as Toronto took that one 3-2.
Well, that's something for Oilers fans and for the Oilers themselves to pay attention to. The Boston Bruins were the much better team in Game 1. The Leafs regrouped, came back and got a hard-earned, low-scoring game win in the second game of the series. The thing that we've seen about the LA Kings a couple of years ago, they got absolutely shellacked back-to-back games.
Yep.
6-1, 8-2, and then came back and won the next two games.
I mean, just the games we've covered. I mean, in 2017, the Oilers lost a game 7-0 to the Sharks, won the series.
Yep.
Game 6 on home ice against Anaheim. What was it, 7-1 final? It was 5-0 after the first, 5 or 6-0 after the first period.
And then lost
games. Anaheim won the series.
Yeah.
Each game takes on a life of its own. If a team doesn't recover or doesn't put a loss behind them, that's the team that lost the series.
Well,
guaranteed.
Well, and a lot of those teams are the teams
that
don't.
You can't let one loss become two.
And those are usually the teams that don't make the playoffs because they were unable to come back.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, a 1 or 2 game losing streak turns into a 6 or 7 game losing streak.
But even look at this game. I mean, it's not like LA just sat there and did nothing after it was 4-0.
They
woke up and they had life. And I'm sure even after Moore's disallowed goal and they made it 4-2, they're probably thinking, okay, we're winning this game. This is going to be the greatest comeback we've ever played in.
They play, and again, the LA Kings, and we've seen this, are a team that when they get the lead, they're a completely different team, and it's a completely different hockey game. So LA, I believe, will have a much better effort. They will need a much better goaltending effort, and they will need a much more disciplined game. I think that's the biggest thing they're going to talk about. At the end of the day, the Oilers won by 3. They scored 3 power play goals. So if you're the LA Kings, you're like, okay, we can't be dumb.
Well, you say it all the time. There are breaks. There is an element of luck or bounces to hockey. Well, the Kings' bounces ultimately didn't mean anything because they were behind 4 goals when they got 2 of them.
Yep.
Okay, pass goes in off Nurse's skate. Great. CC stick breaks. Great.
Yep. So, I mean,
if that's a tie game or a 1-goal game, maybe we're in overtime right now.
But I think it's a game the Oilers should feel good about themselves. They were by far the better team. But as Connor McDavid said, it's game one. We want to win game two. Because if the Oilers don't win game two, well, game one was for naught. Because you've just lost home ice advantage. So it's a feel-good night for Edmonton Oilers fans. Feel good for 48 hours and look forward to fun game two in a couple of days.
7-4, the Oilers take it. We have Big Bad Joe on the line as well. BBJ, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys, it was a good game, and I was not worried, though, when, like Rob usually always says, well, you know, all teams, you know, they push, and LA did, but you know what, with other years with Edmonton, they didn't lose their head, though. You know, they stayed with it, they stuck with it, and then I have one more thing, and that is with Zach Hyman. You know, there have been a lot of people who say, you know, he only gets the cold because he plays with McDavid. See, my answer to that is, look at how much players played with McDavid and couldn't do the job. At least we have now a player, Isaac Hyman, who can do the job. And
well,
that's all what I have to say.
Yeah, I think if anybody is still saying that about Zach Hyman, I think that's a conversation I would just quickly end because it's pointless.
Well,
but I mean, like,
Zach Hyman benefits from playing with Connor McDavid,
sure.
And Connor McDavid benefits playing with Zach Hyman.
Interesting, McDavid had 100 assists the year Hyman had 54 goals or whatever it was. And I mean, also, I mean, it's a team sport. It's not tennis. It's not singles tennis or golf, you know, where it's like, well, it's pretty much all on, I mean, that's... Good teams usually have multiple good players and players that work well together.
Well, that's the key, is finding the right combinations. So they have a very good combination in Connor and Hyman, and both have had fantastic, well, the most successful season passing the puck for Connor McDavid and the most successful season scoring goals for Zach Hyman. So I think they're going to keep those two together.
So McDavid had 5 assists, Hyman had 3 goals and an assist, and this guy, Evan Bouchard, had 4 assists.
Great overall performance. You know, we got on them early like we wanted to do, got up on them. You know, they pushed, but we battled back, and, you know, it worked out in our favor.
This is kind of what you expected from yourselves. You know, everybody kind of believed going in that this is who you are, this is what you could be. Was it still nice to see it in a game one at home in the playoffs?
Yeah, whenever you can get up in a series, it's always a good feeling, especially the way we did it. There's obviously areas to clean up, and we'll get to that tomorrow.
They pushed back, and then you guys in the third period pushed back on them, and that was also a very good sign for you guys.
Yeah, that was huge, like I said. You know, there's going to be swings in the playoffs for each team. It's more about managing it, you know, and limiting it. And when we bounced back, it, you know, ended up in our favor.
You looked at your power play very good against the second best penalty kill. What did you like about your power play that led to the success?
We were moving the puck. I mean, that shot Leo had is kind of perfect shot. But no, we were moving the puck, getting them moving. I think, you know, like I said earlier, there's work to be done. You always improve, and we're looking to do that.
The two power play units worked. I think it was days are kind of going in together. It was yesterday, I think. Both ends of the ice, despite all the success that you've had out, kind of a little refresher help, or it looks like at least it helped tonight.
Yeah, it definitely helped. Come playoff time, special teams is a huge part of the game. We won that battle tonight, and like I said, there's always room to improve, and we're going to do that tomorrow.
Evan, if you were an opposing player against Zach Hyman, what would be the hardest thing to stop from number 18?
There's many things. He protects the puck like no one else can, gets in spots where no one else wants to get to, and he gets rewarded for it. So it's credit to him and his line mates for finding him.
Was that the most amount of hats you saw on the ice after a hat trick?
Yes, definitely up there. Yeah, I can't remember last time I've seen more.
Game ones have not gone particularly well for this team over the last few years. What allowed you guys to really impose your will pretty quickly?
I think it was getting on them early. We knew we had to get a lead on them, play with the lead. Now we have that under our belt, we know what it feels like. We got to do that again next game.
Does that really change the course of gameplay against a team like this? Getting it, not only a one goal lead, but you guys made it two pretty quickly thereafter.
Yeah, that's huge. If you can get up on a team like LA, they don't give up many chances. So when you can put them in the net and get up on them, it kind of plays in our hands.
They seem to want to get engaged in scrums lots, but you guys were more than willing to do it. How important is the kind of the game within the game factor, and maybe how much more comfortable your group feels in those situations?
Yeah, the discipline's huge. I said earlier, special teams are a big part of the game. If we can take punch or whatever it is to get on the power play, we're going to do that, and I think that's going to be big for us.
All right, that is Evan Bouchard after the Oilers beat the Kings 7-4. We'll get to a couple more of your phone calls at 780-496-0063, and you'll hear from the guy who made the hats fly, Zach Hyman, all ahead on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
For Henrik in full flight, McDavid whistles one high to the glove side on Cam Talbot. That just missed. Now it's Zach Hyman. Beautiful look. Open man. Rich shot score. It's 2-0 Edmonton. Adam Henrik.
Yeah, good game by Henrik as well. That made it 2-0 as the Oilers beat the Kings 7-4 in Game 1. Henrik playing his first playoff game since April 18th, 2018. So pretty cool for him. First postseason goal in nearly 12 years, over 4,300 days. Longest span between postseason goals by a player in NHL history.
That is amazing. 12 years. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, it was a big goal for the Oilers. He and his line mates, Connor and Zach, played very, very well. That line has gelled quickly together, and they were a handful for the LA Kings.
Warren Fogle got the empty netter to put it away, and he did a good job. I mean, empty netter in a 7-4 game, but he went out there and did his job getting that puck.
Well, again, it ended the game, and he was physical, knocked the LA King, I don't know if it was Fiala or Moore, one of them, knocked them off the puck and then found the back of the net. And I don't believe the LA Kings, even if they got the puck there and got it in, were going to be able to come back in the game. But what's going to happen is they're going to throw pucks on net. And every time there's a lot of pucks going towards the net, there's a chance someone gets one in the foot or in the wrist or something as you're blocking shots. So he took that completely out of the equation by finishing the game off, and both teams sent out their fourth line to finish the last 45 seconds. But a nice play by Fogle, who, as we saw the last 5-6 games of the season, was one of the best Edmonton Oilers on a nightly basis.
Oilers take game one. We have Warrior in Phoenix checking in tonight. Warrior, go ahead.
Hey, you know what? I am so excited. You know, I can't believe the colors, man. It's been so long since there's been a cup. You'd think they'd be more excited after the win. But quick question for you. You think Michaels had the over or the under at 11?
On goals scored? Jack, yeah. I'll have to ask him.
All right.
I didn't see what the line was. It would have been over, though, I'm sure. The line was probably 9.5 or 9.5. I don't know.
But and then I got a question on a thing. It was so funny is that, you know, both Bob and Jack thought that it was a goal. Rob, you thought it was a goal. Reed, I was listening to the whole game in my backyard, and I started to feel sorry for you, so I think it was a goal. But what I really need, and I wish that this game was like we could communicate back and forth and you get that clicker going. You get the clicker going, just like they were doing. Anyway, I'm too excited to talk. I don't want to take any questions. I just want to let you know that the Warriors are still out here in Phoenix and jacked up and can't wait to get to Edmonton in September.
Okay. Well, we'll see you then. Thanks, Warrior. We appreciate you checking in. 7-4 Oilers beat the Kings. We also have Chris on the line. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Quite well.
Oh, well, I gotta say, what a entertaining game that was. You know, there's so much stuff to talk about, but I'll limit to a few things because I don't want to take up too much topics. First, I hated that hit by Trevor Moore at the end on DRNA. In my opinion, I think the league should look at it and it should be a suspension. I don't think it will be, but it's something that the league should address because that's just too dangerous. And again, turning point on a bad, the turning point in the game, I think, when, you know, LA has the momentum going into the intermission. And I tell you what, and Rob, you were talking about it earlier, but for the Kings, I tell you what, aside from his lucky goal or the bounce off Nurse's skate, Pierre-Luc Dubois certainly spent more time in the box than I think he spent in the game as far as me noticing him tonight. And I tell you what, if you're the Kings, you better wake up at some point because otherwise it's going to be quite a debacle, I think, if you know, you trade all your assets that you did and all the players from to Winnipeg to get them, and then you try to, you know, they by chance lose in the first round and, you know, Winnipeg beats Colorado afterwards. Not going to be a good look for Rod Blake in L.A., but you know what? Fun game tonight. Probably the most hats I think I've ever seen on on the ice. And I don't know. Reed, maybe you know. Was there a timer set for how long it took for to pick up all the hats?
I don't know.
That should have been the over-under, I think.
Yeah.
After that.
If I would have known. Thanks, Chris. I don't know how long it took, but I know usually – so that was a point of the game where the next stoppage was going to be a commercial, unless it's a goal. But then they eventually took a commercial anyway because it was
taking a long time to
clean up the hats. Yeah, obviously the Dubois trade, I think regardless of how this series goes, the Kings most of the year have been considered the winners. But
You mean the Jets.
Yes, the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets have been the – the Kings certainly have not been the winners in this trade.
Dubois played 15 minutes tonight, got a goal. It was actually plus one, 3 shots, 5 hits. But by the way, the hits in this game were 67-45 for Los Angeles. The only players not credited with hits were Arvidsson, Janmark, McLeod, and Draisaitl, oddly enough.
Wow. Leon, usually against LA, he likes to throw a few hits.
Hyman had 9 shots on goal. Kane had 6. The Oilers outshot the Kings 45-37. The Oilers blocked 24 shots. The Kings blocked 17. Desharnais had 5. Surprise, surprise. To lead everybody in the game.
He's so big, it just hits him whether he tries to or not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Actually, I thought Kane played well. There was a lot of questions about what Evander Kane was going to have coming into this game. Having missed 3 games in a row, not practicing, he looked good. He did not look like there was anything hindering his skating ability today.
Yeah. 7-4, the Oilers win it. We have Abbas on the line as well. Abbas, go ahead.
What up, guys? What a nice win. And a heart and Zach Hymenator. I love that name that Hunter Ryan coined. I was surprised that the Oilers never won a 10-0. I'm like, what's happening? 4-0? And then they just come in. You know, it was unfortunate that the puck went by nurses Kane in the goal. But I think that's unfortunate. But the thing I'd like to see next game is a shutout by Skinner. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I have faith in this 25-year-old. I think this is a team that is going to do the thing. Henrik played well. Zach played well. Leon played well. But I'd love to see. I'm just surprised how teams, you know, they try to prevent McDavid from scoring. But I think next game, Connor will score maybe a couple of goals.
Well, but, five assists sets up a lot of goals. Abbas, too, remember that. So I think it's the time of year where, shut out individual stats. As we've talked about, individual performances help your team win, but they just want to win. And Ekholm had that great clip from the weekend where he said, sometimes you got to go and win. Sometimes you got to play less bad than the other team, especially deeper in the playoffs. You're injured and tired and who knows what's happening. So the Oilers were the better team, whether it ended 7-4, 6-2, or 4-0. They were the better team.
They were. Sometimes you need a goalie to steal a game for you. Sometimes your B game, your C game has to find you a victory at night's end. Tonight it was the Oilers' A game, and it was too much for the LA Kings, especially early. And that just changed the way that the LA Kings played this hockey game. So hats off to the Edmonton Oilers tonight as they got a well-deserved victory.
Yeah, Edmonton 3-for-4 on the power play, and they killed off both of the Kings' man advantages to get the win. Okay, Hyman was the first star. He had the hat trick. You'll hear from him next on Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Hyman reversing to Draisaitl, guides it to Bouchard. McDavid right face off on tiptoe. 6-2. Hyman's got a hat trick.
Yeah, big game for Zach Hyman. Big game one win for the Oilers, 7-4 over Los Angeles. Here's Hyman.
Nice to win a game one.
Yeah, very nice. But lots of work to do, obviously. So you got to play as hungry as we do when we lose. So
how does that potentially help you guys? You know, you obviously want to get this done faster. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, but getting it done faster than could really help you guys go on a long run.
One game at a time, I think it helps you in the sense that, you know, you only got to win three instead of four, right? You're not behind the gun, so it's good. You got to defend home ice. You got to game on home ice, so it's important to take care of business here.
What's the most satisfying part of your game as a team, do you think?
I think the start of the third. They have their push in the second. I think grabbing hold of it in the third and scoring a big power play goal, Leo's goal, I think that's just a huge goal to kind of settle the group down and kind of be the dagger, I think.
If the battle becomes playing the most minutes of your style as opposed to the other team getting to play it their way, you guys had most of that game. The game was played on your terms most of the night. Is that in itself an accomplishment, I guess, that you're trying to do?
I think you want to exert your style. I think you want to be able to have the game in the flow that you wanted in, right? I think each other way, you're frustrated and you're not happy, obviously. If they're, imposing their will on you, it's not a great feeling. I thought special teams was great. Like, I thought the PK was solid. I thought Stu was solid. I've never seen so many bad bounces for a goalie in that game. So, I think just a solid game.
You looked like you were a little banged up going off there. I know it's playoffs, you might not say much, but you were back on the ice after.
Yeah.
All good?
Oh, yeah, it was completely fine. I just hit, I don't care because it's nothing. It was just hit your funny bone with a slash, and then your arm goes numb for a minute, and then you sit on the bench. It's back. Exactly. So it's kind of like when you get hit in the foot with a puck, your foot goes numb. Same type of deal. No, nothing.
Is that the most amount of hats you've seen?
That's 12 bags.
14.
14.
1,131 hats.
Oh, man. good for the Oilers store. That's crazy. I've never seen so many hats. No, but pretty special to do it here in front of the fans.
You ever go through those hats and try to see what kind of hats you maybe would like?
No, they usually bring them down. But I think, you know, playoffs is no need. We're just gonna move on and, you know, take the win.
Safe to say it's the biggest hat trick of your career.
Yeah, I mean, in the playoffs, every goal you score just, I mean, gets you closer to the ultimate goal. So. Zach,
you had a career year, and the playoffs, everybody says, a new season. How important was it for you just to get off to a good start in the playoffs and just kind of carry your momentum over?
You know, I mean, you want to feel good going into the playoffs. Obviously, you want to feel good. But I think it's just at this time of year, everybody is so focused on winning. It doesn't matter who scores, obviously. That's been a big part of my game this year, so it's important that, you know, I'm able to produce. But I think regardless of who scores, we're all pulling on the same rope, and it was just a huge effort from the entire group tonight. So, it was a good one.
Five assists for Connor tonight. Just a thought on his performance. He obviously took his game to another level tonight.
Mm, yeah, 95 away from 100. special player, obviously. When he's playing like that, he controls the game. So he doesn't need to score. He just setting up everybody and set me up three times. And he's been doing it all year. So, that's what he does.
What have you liked about Henrik since he's joined? I know it's only been a few games, but there seems to he fits in right away and he scored again tonight.
Just so solid, like just steady. Like as a line mate, you want to play with somebody who's predictable and you know where they're going to be. And we haven't played with Rico for long, so to have that kind of predictability and understand where he's going to be at all times, like I think that's huge, and that's a huge compliment. Like it may sound boring, but it's a huge compliment. And obviously, I think his puck touches are great. Like I think he makes really good touches with the puck, and I thought he had a great shot. Like he picked the corner. It's a hard angle and just a huge goal. So I thought he played great. Plays special teams, takes draws, like. Just a huge addition for us.
Zach, you mentioned Draisaitl's goal, but then what about, you know, Henrik's goal and your second goal to allow you guys to continue kind of imposing, you know, your style and your will on them?
I mean, those are all huge goals, right? Like, I think scoring the first goal is big, and then you get up to two-goal lead early in the first, like, that gets the crowd into it. And then, yeah, we're up 4-0, right? And then they get one disallowed, you know, so they're at two goals there, and then going into the third, like, two-goal lead's not always the safest lead, so I think it's to get that, to capitalize on the power play. I thought our power play scored at opportune times in the game, and that's what we talk about a lot, is not how many times you score, it's when you score. And I mean, obviously we scored a lot on the power play today, but I thought the moments in the game were huge, and just kind of settling the group, giving us a lead, so yeah, I thought it was good.